Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, and reading verses 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for, I'm in Matthew chapter 19. I see someone looking up and around. I didn't know if he's got it. 19, verse 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The title of my message this evening is The Lost Man and Our Desire for Him. All of us as God's dear children should have within ourselves a desire to see people saved.
Amen.
That's just not the preacher's desire. But that's every church member's desire. The same Christ who dwells in you, you want to dwell in your friends, your neighbors, your relatives.
Amen.
If you don't, something wrong.
Amen.
There's something wrong. You and I, as members of the Lord's churches, and there's quite a few represented here, have been given a commission by God to go into this world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what color they are, what race they are, it doesn't matter where they're from or where they're going. We have a command from God Almighty to go into this world and preach to every creature. It's a dilemma that faces us. And it seems at times in the flesh that as we read and study Scripture, that there are things that seem to conflict. The Bible says we're to go and win souls, but we can't win souls. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. You preach to them, and they reject. And we preach to them again, and they reject again. And so there's a dilemma which we as Christians must get straight in our minds and in our teachings as we preach to lost people. What can you and I do when we go to our loved ones and tell them the gospel, preach to them the gospel as simply as we know how, and they don't respond positively to this word? They don't come and receive the Lord. They reject what you've said. They turn you away. Have you ever thought that the Bible says that lost man is dead spiritually and cannot come to Christ? By himself alone, he cannot come to Christ. Are we surprised then when they have no interest at all in the Word of God? Well, sometimes we say, Lord, what's the matter? We've preached to these people. We've witnessed to them. They come to church. Some have been coming to church for years, and they still have not come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What can we do? But the Bible says it's normal that the lost man will not at first be excited about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's normal. Just the way it is. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because he thinks what we're doing and what we're saying is foolishness. Honestly. How many times preaching, we didn't have it so nice like this in Honduras, where you have a wall protecting you from them outside. I'd be standing in the pulpit in a mission work and looking out at the street and empty pews, except for my wife and maybe one or two, in the beginning of mission works. People would walk by, and of course they'd look. They said, what's that crazy gringo doing in there preaching and praying and reading the Bible and singing by himself? But we don't worry about it, do we? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's the Lord who adds to the Lord's church. It's all of grace. Now, I could go to various passages about the Great Commission, but we want to read in Mark 16, please. I have three here, and I've just chosen Mark 16, verses 14 through 20. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth. Okay. The commission was given. The Lord was ascended. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In the book of Acts now. Chapter 17, reading from verse 22. 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And notice, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul said this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he had commanded all men everywhere to repent. And wouldn't we love to see this happen to every person we witness to? But it doesn't always bring the same results, as we know. We try in our humble way, try to tell the lost of their need, but we know that our efforts are limited, because if God does not take this word home to their hearts and convict them of their sins, it's like water running off a duck's back, humanly speaking. I know it'll not return void. It will accomplish something. It may be to their condemnation, but it will accomplish something. And so Paul said it very well there in 1 Corinthians 2. I don't want to turn there and read this moment. In 1 Corinthians 2, reading verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. In other words, he wasn't a flamboyant speaker. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If someone's going to be saved, it's going to be because of the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Amen. Not because of what I say or what you say. God will use whatever. I've seen people saved when I was preaching a message on the Lord's church. Didn't have the gospel message as we think of it in that message, but the Lord saved them. But they had heard it previously. And the Lord's convicting power brought them to that place, realizing what they needed. And they repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. And so then, if anything positive comes out of our witnesses collectively as Christians, it's because of God, the power of God. Now, in the 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 to 31, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now, you meditate on that for a while and put yourself in that place of the weak thing, because that's what we are, if we're honest with ourselves. And the base things of this world, of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's no boasting. No boasting in the man of God. No boasting. What are some of the things that we know about man today? First of all, we know that man is totally depraved. I mean, he has no good in him. every aspect of them of man is wicked. Now, he's not so wicked that he can't be more wicked. Because as long as there's life, he can get worse and heap more sin upon sin. It means that though man does not always act as wickedly as possible, his depravity includes his entire being. And that he is inherently unable to respond to the gospel in faith and repentance by himself alone. Can't do it. Romans 1:21-23 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, the four-footed beast, and creeping things, and they even, in the Mayan religion, sacrificed people. I've been to Mayan ruins, and I vowed that I would never go back. Some people come down to Honduras, and I told my wife, I said, Sylvia, if the tourists that come down here, people that come down to Honduras, want to go to the Mayan ruins, I'll take them to the bus and then go on the bus because I ain't going again. The last time I went with Brother Justice, Lawrence Justice, and Benjamin, I forget his last name, that was the missionary's child down in Brazil, I believe it was. And as we walked, we heard this horrible sound. Horrible sound. And we approached that sound, and in one of the caves there was a group of people doing a seance, hands together and calling down the spirits. And not far away, there was three men trying to get a woman worked up into devil worship or something. And she started braying like a lion. I mean, this deep voice, deeper than yours, came out of this woman and filled the whole park. I mean, the hairs on my head stood on end. I got away from there as fast as I could. Satan was present. And they were in that seance to bring the voices of the Mayan Indians back to them and speak to them. I don't want to be around that kind of stuff.
Amen. That's right.
I don't want to be around that kind of stuff. The Lord saved me out of, not to go back to. Man is depraved. His mind's depraved. Doesn't matter how intelligent that man might be or that woman might be. He cannot understand spiritual things in the condition that he's at. That's why these people we witness to don't respond many times. They can't understand what we're talking about. Their minds and their conscience are defiled. And Titus 1:15-16 says, Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Across the street from where I live in Decatur, there's a man who is a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. His last charge just got released, was from making meth in his home. And one of the parts of his recovery is he had to go to a certain recovery place, to a rehabilitation center. And he said, I went to that rehabilitation center for the purpose so that I could get my driver's license back and get back in society. I was going to trick them. But this organization preaches a false gospel to these people. It's self-salvation. That you can save yourself from your sin. And any time I would mention about his depraved condition, as I witnessed to him, he's a friend, he's doing work, tile work for a friend of mine that I do yard work for. So we're both workers for this guy. And Tom is the one that needs to know the Lord in a desperate way. And as I would witness to him and tell him about his need, his sinful condition, he would get angry. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Unless a person comes to a place to see his lost condition, he cannot be saved. If there is no repentance, there's no salvation. And the problem today is there's so many churches that are not even mentioning about repentance. Man has got to repent. He has to come to that position where he sees himself as he really is, lost and undone. Amen. Romans 3:11 says, in part, there is none that understandeth. Ephesians 4:17-18 says, in part, that their understanding is darkened because they are blind and cannot see. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The message of the gospel is foolish to them who are perishing. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, the messenger, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we need to acknowledge that it is the power of God. The natural man does not accept the things of God, the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. So the dilemma we see is, we're told to go and preach. They can't believe. But we know the answer, and I'll get to the answer in a bit. You know it already. If you're saved, you know the answer already. The lost man by himself has absolutely no ability to understand spiritual things, once again. If he cannot understand it, then how can he respond to the gospel in a positive way? Can't. Can he? First of all, he's dead. Dead man can't walk. Can't do anything. I worked in a funeral home. I know what that's like. Dead people cannot move on their own volition, under their own power. Cannot do it. Man is dead spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And verse 5 says the same thing. And so then, oh, I didn't know where it went. Excuse me, thank you. And so then, lost man by himself has no ability. He's unable to spiritually respond to the invitation to repent without the power of God intervening, because he is spiritually dead. There's no life which wants to believe in Christ. There's no spiritual life to want to repent of their sins. You wonder why there are people that come to the church and they listen and they listen. Well, they're there. They're present. I don't know how much they're listening to. But they never make a profession of faith. You wonder, what is going through their minds? Why? You know what the answer to that is that they love their sin.
Amen.
They love their sin, and they don't want their boat rocked. They want to be stable the way they are. They feel they don't need anything else. And maybe, just maybe, by coming to the church, they'll be lucky. We talked about luck today. I don't believe in luck either, but they think that way. Maybe, just maybe, God will look down on me and think I'm okay because of what I'm doing here. It doesn't work that way. You must repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. You must repent. There's no spiritual life in dead people. He feels he's fine just the way he is. He loves the way things are. Just leave me alone. His heart, the lost man's heart, is depraved. At the core of man's inability to respond to the gospel is the depravity of his heart, which is full of evil, the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 3 says, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil." And notice, "and madness is in their heart while they live." Wow, that's strong meat. "And after that, they go to the dead. They wish for the best. They hope for the best. But they hope in vain." They hope in vain. Genesis 6:5 says also that gives this verse gives the way of man's heart where it was before the flood. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." Wow. And such were some of us.
Amen.
All of us. You weren't justified before you're saved. You had to be saved first.
Amen.
Time and education through the ages has not improved the condition of man's heart. He hasn't evolved to get better. He's not getting better.
Amen.
It is still continually and exclusively evil. His desires are evil. And so in doing so, he does not please the Lord. And so he's pleasing whom? His father, the devil. I know lost people hate to hear that. They get mad and want to throw a hammer, but so be it. They must hear the truth. Why sugarcoat it? Tell them the truth. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't repent of your sins and trust in Christ.
Amen.
And so by nature, the natural man is a hater of God and a lover of wickedness. The Bible says so. Turn over there in John 8, verse 44. John 8, 44 and 45. "Ye are of your father the devil." You know, the Lord didn't mince words. "Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." Boy, they hated him. They hated him. "And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." We must preach continually to this kind of people that continually reject, knowing that one day God will save some of them. That's the hope we have. That's the heart that we need to have, realizing that there are some elect out there yet.
Amen.
John 3:19-20 says that man is lost and that he is hostile toward God. Romans 8:7 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. For he's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then in John 5:40 says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Oh, we wish we could turn that around. But no, we're not God. We must do what God has told us to do, and that's preach the word to everyone. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're there. Man's will is also depraved. Man's inability to respond to the gospel is mostly seen in the depravity of his will. This is the faculty by which man chooses or makes decisions. The scriptures simply state that man's will is enslaved to sin. It's enslaved. He has to be bought out of that slave market. It's the only way he can get out. In Romans chapter 6, 17, I want to read these three verses here. In Romans chapter 6, and reading verses 17, 20, and 22. But God be thanked that ye were the servants, ye were the servants of sin.
Amen.
Ye were. In other words, that's past tense. If I understand English, isn't that past tense?
Amen.
I believe so. But ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. But the other side, John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The lost man doesn't like to submit to God's law because he doesn't know God nor recognize him as God, your creator. The lost person can't please God. The Bible says clearly in Romans 8:7-8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Wow. I'm amazed at how many soybeans there are in this area. I'm amazed at the crops. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But why do they do that? It's their work. Make money. But the plowing of the corn is sin. And it's all for self. The building of a piece of furniture, if it's, look what I did, pride enters in, is sin. Everything we do ought to be for the honor and glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Everything. Our whole being is God's. We're bought with a price. And so lost man's not able, in God's sight, do anything that is truly good. Romans 3:12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Excuse me. How can this man respond to the gospel message? Point two. The depravity that man possesses flows from his evil heart and will. His heart is only full of evil, but he is also enslaved to his various lusts and pleasures. Look with me in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And reading verses 21 to 23. Mark 7, 21. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." It's the way it is. It's the way it is. Think of it. If his heart, if his mind, his heart, his will is enslaved, how can this man choose to believe in Jesus Christ? Now we can see the great dilemma as we face people when we witness to them. On his own, once again, and by himself, he cannot respond positively to this message. The leopard, as we know, the Bible says, cannot change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. For Jeremiah says in 13:23, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to evil, to do evil." No. What a dilemma. Preach to them, and they're stuck. Are they stuck? Huh? Are they stuck? They're stuck. Until the power of the Holy Spirit works in their lives. And we know He will in His time. That's what gave me hope in Honduras, knowing that as I preached to lost people, I couldn't save them. And I thank God for the 40 to 50 churches that supported us and maintained us down there in Honduras, that I never received one letter from one church the whole 23 years while we were down there that said, "How come you're not producing more souls?" Not once. Why? Because all the churches that supported me believed in the doctrines of grace. They believed that salvation was of the Lord and that our responsibility was to witness. To witness, to witness, to witness. I have seen with mine eyes the result of high-pressure evangelism on the mission field. And it accomplishes almost zero. Some are saved. And praise God for those that are. But what about all those confused ones? And so then, as we continue on just for a few moments longer, we have seen how the lost man cannot accept or understand the gospel because to him it is foolishness. How can he respond to the message and believe in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? Because every intent of his heart is only and continually evil. And he seeks not after God. How can this man then, or this person or woman, then turn to Christ for salvation and embrace him as his righteousness? Because he's enslaved to sin. How can he turn from his wickedness to Christ and bow before him as Lord and Savior of his life? Remember that lost man does not fear God. There is no fear of God before his eyes. So why would he do such a thing? How can he humble himself before God and trust in him for salvation? He hates God. He loves his sin. He is unwilling and undesirous of coming to Christ. How then can he repent and do so? He's spiritually blind. How can he see spiritually? He's dead. How can he make himself to live unto Christ? And you and I that are saved know the answer. We know the answer. It's God that can make him free from his lost condition and grant him repentance and faith. Amen. Psalms 110:3 says, "Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power." Amen. Amen. How precious that is to know that there's hope because he makes them willing in the day of his power. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will, free will to do what? Free will to sin. Huh? Free will to sin. But it's God who changes that and makes you desirous, changes your will to want what you once rejected, what you hated, what you despised. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad he came to you? Aren't you glad that Jesus came down and touched you, opened your heart? Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Amen. The only way that any of us are saved today is because of the wonderful change which Jesus Christ wrought in our hearts and in our souls. God's children are given a commission to communicate this message to a world that has no ability to respond. But we know the one who has given us this commission, and that nothing that he commands us to do will be in vain. That's the blessedness of it, Brother Cummings. You know that those good old boys down there, you preach to them, you've told them about the Lord, and they get off my doorstep, man. But if they're God's elect, God's going to come down one day. Their hearts are going to be opened. Their big old mean-spirited attitudes are going to be melted and want what they've always hated. They're going to want to know Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, I think of Pedro down in Honduras. Now, you might have heard me tell this on deputation work, but this man, big, tall, black man, and he was that broad and that tall and carried a knife that long. The preachers in the area, members of the church there, and all witnessed to him. I witnessed to him. I buried his daddy, who was an alcoholic. The Lord brought him to our services three times before he passed away. A cirrhosis of the liver. He went around the village telling people that he was un evangelico, that he had been saved. I don't know if the old man was saved or not. They named him Chicha, and that means guaro, whiskey. That's what he was an alcoholic. But his son was bothered. He saw what the Baptist church did for his daddy in burying him and giving him a right funeral. And the Lord started working on him. And one day Pedro, the seller of marijuana in Rio Esteban, was on his way home and fell into a ditch drunk. Woke up hours later and he looked at himself. He looked at himself. His money was gone. And he says, "What do I do?" He says, "I don't want to live like this any longer." Big old Pedro got up, walked back to the bar where he had been drinking. And he says, "Give me one more drink for the road. This is my last." And they all laughed at him. That day he got home And he went to Benito's house, the first man we baptized in the village. Benito, come out and talk to me about Jesus. I want to know about Jesus. And Benito says, the gringo's coming. He'll be here at 9 o'clock. Just wait for him. I can't wait until he comes. Come out here and talk to me about Jesus. And Benito got dressed. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And went out there, and the Lord saved Pedro.
Amen.
And the whole village was amazed. And they said, Pedro will not make it. He won't make it. And every time I go back to the village, after that point, every time, I say, how's it going, Pedro? The Lord's my Savior.
Amen.
And 13, 14, 15 years later, he's still saying the same thing.
Amen.
Listen, that was just one example. And oh, it was God who worked in his life. Gave him peace. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Don't worry how many times you've got to tell your friends and neighbors and relatives. Keep on telling them.
Amen.
It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Listen, brethren, there's a balm in Gilead. He will save all who will come unto him in faith. For all for whom he shed his precious blood. And so come today. If you're lost this evening, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge of you to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. I cannot do it for you. Do you want to be saved? Do you have a desire to be saved? Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. May God bless you with these words.